Live Wire Operation Epic Fury Day 3. The latest news from Iran and the Middle East. By Kurt Zindelka and Oliver J.J. Lane on March 2, 2026. The military operation against Iran has entered its third day. With strikes against targets inside Iran and interceptions of Iranian aircraft, missiles, and drones attempting to land blows across the Middle East and Eastern Mediterranean ongoing. Monday's live updates below. All updates in Eastern Time. Tuesday, 2:15 a.m., U.S. President Donald Trump said that the United States has a virtually unlimited supply of medium and upper medium grade munitions. President Trump said that such weapons could be used to fight wars forever. He said that the United States is currently not where we want to be in terms of the highest end munitions, which he criticized former President Joe Biden for having given much of the super high end weapons away to Ukraine and others, without bothering to replace them. Fortunately, I rebuilt the military in my first term, and continue to do so. The United States is stocked, and ready to win, big. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Trump wrote on Truth Social. 11:55 p.m., U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, has claimed to have destroyed Iranian air defense systems. Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, command and control facilities, missile and drone launch sites, and military airfields during Operation Epic Fury. 10:10 p.m., Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected the notion that Israel dragged the United States into war with Iran, telling Sean Hannity of Fox News, "That's ridiculous. Donald Trump is the strongest leader in the world. He does what he thinks is right for America. He does also what he thinks is right for future generations." Earlier, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that the threat posed by Iran to the United States was imminent, claiming that the White House had intelligence that the Islamist regime had planned to attack American assets in the region in the event of an impending strike on its missile program by Israel. Rubio added, however, that the timing of the strike was also influenced by a desire to prevent the currently weakened Iran from building up its missile and drone programs to defend against strikes on its nuclear program. 10 p.m. Major General Turki al-Maliki, the official spokesman for Saudi Arabia's Ministry of Defense, said that its forces have intercepted and destroyed 8 drones near the cities of Riyadh and Al-Kharj. It comes after Saudi Arabia revealed that 2 drones were successful in striking the U.S. embassy in Riyadh. The attack resulted in a fire and minor material damage to the building but reportedly did not cause any injuries. 8:30 p.m. U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance said that there is no way that President Trump will enter the United States in a multi-year conflict in Iran. Speaking to Jesse Waters of Fox News, Vice President Vance said, "We're not going to get into the problems that we've had with Iraq and Afghanistan." 8:20 p.m., speaking to Fox News on Monday evening, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Iran failed to learn a lesson after last year's U.S. strikes on its nuclear and missile programs, saying that the Iranian regime is totally fanatic about this, about the goal of destroying America. Netanyahu said that it was imperative to strike now because Tehran had started building new sites, new places, underground bunkers that would make their ballistic missile program and their atomic bomb program immune within months. 7:40 p.m., the U.S. Embassy in Riyadh was subjected to an attack by 2 drones according to initial estimates, the Saudi Arabian Ministry of Defense said on Monday evening. According to the Saudi MOD, the strike resulted in a limited fire and minor material damage to the building. No injuries have been reported at the time of this post. 7:05 p.m., a fact sheet from U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, provided to Breitbart News that detailed the first 48 hours of Operation Epic Fury in Iran listed the United States military assets used in action so far. These assets included B-1 bombers, B-2 stealth bombers, Lucas drones, Patriot interceptor missile systems, TOW anti-ballistic missile systems, F-15 fighter jets, F-16 fighter jets, F-18 fighter jets, F-22 fighter jets, F-35 stealth fighters, A-10 attack jets, EA-18G electronic attack aircraft, airborne early warning and control aircraft, airborne communication relay, P-8 maritime patrol aircraft, RC-135 reconnaissance aircraft, MQ-9 Reapers, M-142 high-mobility artillery rocket systems, nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, guided missile destroyers, counter-drone systems, refueling tanker aircraft, refueling ships, C-17 Globemaster cargo aircraft, C-130 cargo aircraft, and special capabilities we can't list here. 6:05 p.m., after issuing evacuation orders for over a dozen Middle Eastern countries, U.S. Secretary Marco Rubio stressed that the safety and security of American citizens is the State Department's number one priority. Secretary Rubio urged citizens in the region to sign up for up-to-date alerts at step.state.gov. 5:55 p.m., in contrast to reported claims from Tehran on Monday that the Strait of Hormuz closed, an unnamed senior U.S. military official was cited by Fox News saying that the critical waterway remains open to navigation and that Iran is not enforcing any closure of the strait. However, commercial vessels are currently avoiding the passage out of caution, Fox reported. 5:30 p.m., the Israel Defense Forces claim to have destroyed the headquarters for Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB, during an Air Force strike on Tehran, which dropped dozens of bombs on the building. The IDF describes a state media outlet as the communications and propaganda center for the Islamist regime, including by promoting military operations under the guise of civilian means and assets. 5 p.m., the U.S. State Department has urged American citizens to evacuate from the countries of Bahrain, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, and the West Bank and Gaza, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen amid the ongoing conflict with the Islamist regime in Iran. Assistant Secretary Moran Amdar said that Americans should depart now from the listed countries using available commercial transportation, due to serious safety risks. 4:50 p.m., the U.S. Embassy in Amman, the capital city of the Kingdom of Jordan, has announced that out of an abundance of caution all staff have been evacuated temporarily from its compound due to a threat. Earlier on Monday, the embassy warned citizens in the country that it had indications there may be continued missiles, drones, or rockets in Jordanian airspace in the coming days. 4:20 p.m., U.S. Central Command revealed that the death toll of U.S. service members has risen to 6. CENTCOM said that U.S. forces recently recovered the remains of 2 previously unaccounted for service members from a facility that was struck during Iran's initial attacks in the region. 4:15 p.m., speaking to the press on Capitol Hill after briefing the gang of 8 congressional members, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that the White House knew that there was going to be an Israeli action against Iran and therefore decided to act before Iran could strike American forces. We knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties, Rubio said. There was absolutely an imminent threat, he said. We knew that if Iran was attacked and we believed that they would be attacked that they would immediately come after us. And we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we responded. We went proactively, in a defensive way, to prevent them from inflicting higher damage. Had we not done so, there would have been hearings on Capitol Hill about how we knew that this was going to happen and we didn't act preemptively to prevent more casualties and more loss of life. Rubio further explained that the decision to launch the operation against Iran now was necessary given their developing missile and drone programs. He said that if they had another year to develop, it would have made successful military action against the regime much more difficult, saying, "Look at the damage they're doing now, and this is a weakened Iran. Imagine a year from now." 3:55 p.m., Democrat Party megadonor Alex Soros, the son of billionaire George Soros, has called on America's allies in Europe and Canada to stand up against the illegal war in Iran. They make nice speeches at conferences, but do little. Spain is becoming the leader of the free world. The chairman of the board of directors of the Open Society Foundations exclaimed on social media in reference to the socialist government of Spain refusing to allow the United States launch strikes on Iran from its military bases. 3:35 p.m., according to NBC News, U.S. Central Command has said that 1,250 Iranian targets have been struck during the first 48 hours of Operation Epic Fury. CENTCOM reportedly said that primary targets of American strikes included headquarters of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, ballistic missile sites, naval vessels, and communications centers. 3:20 p.m., The White House has released a dossier detailing crimes committed against the United States and its citizens by the terrorist Iranian regime. Dating from the 1979 Islamist Revolution to last year when Iran-backed militias attacked U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria. More Americans have been killed by Iran than any other terrorist regime on Earth. The White House noted, listing numerous examples of murders, kidnappings, and terror attacks committed or sponsored by Tehran. 2:45 p.m., the Israel Defense Forces said on Monday that they have completed a wave of strikes against intelligence headquarters in Tehran, including those of the Internal Security Forces, which the IDF claimed was responsible for the violent suppression of recent anti-government protests in Iran, and thus the destruction of the bases limits the regime's suppression capabilities. Additionally, the IDF said that it struck 10 headquarters of the Ministry of Intelligence, the central intelligence arm of the Islamist regime. The strikes also targeted sites used to produce weaponry, missile launchers, and Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps facilities. 2:30 p.m., U.S. Central Command has said that all 11 Iranian naval ships in the Gulf of Oman have been destroyed over the past 2 days during Operation Epic Fury. The Iranian regime has harassed and attacked international shipping in the Gulf of Oman for decades. Those days are over. Freedom of maritime navigation has underpinned American and global economic prosperity for more than 80 years. U.S. forces will continue to defend it, CENTCOM said. 2:15 p.m., the Israel Defense Forces said that they will not rule out a ground invasion of Lebanon to root out Hezbollah after the Iranian proxy terror group reportedly broke the 2024 ceasefire agreement on Sunday by launching rockets into northern Israel. In turn, Jerusalem struck dozens of Hezbollah targets in Lebanon on Monday. IDF spokesman Brigadier General Avi Dufresne said per the Times of Israel, "The bottom line is that all options are on the table. We will work to disarm Hezbollah from its weapons and remove threats to Israeli citizens." 2 p.m., the U.S. State Department has issued guidance on social media to Americans currently in the Gulf region amid Operation Epic Fury. Earlier today, embassies in the region issued warnings to U.S. citizens, including those in Lebanon, who were advised to leave the country immediately while commercial flights remain available. In Iraq, Americans were told to exercise increased caution, keep a low profile, and shelter in place until further notice. 1:45 p.m., the Kremlin has said that Russian President Vladimir Putin has held phone calls with multiple leaders in the Gulf region, including Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa of Bahrain. According to Moscow state media, Putin has called for a ceasefire in Iran and emphasized the urgent need to resolve the extremely dangerous situation that has arisen through political and diplomatic means. 1 p.m., NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte told Fox News that he commends President Trump for taking the lead on taking out Khamenei, taking out the nuclear capability in Iran, but also taking out the ballistic missile program in Iran. "This is crucial. I spoke with all the key European leaders over the weekend. There's widespread support for what the president's doing in making sure that in terms of logistics, access, and defending key U.S. interests in Europe and in the region, the Europeans are really stepping up." However, speaking to Germany's ARD broadcaster, Rutte said that the NATO alliance will not be directly involved in the U.S.-Israeli military operation against Iran. 12:15 p.m., during a Medal of Honor ceremony in the White House, U.S. President Donald Trump said on Monday that America will easily prevail in Iran, while saying that Operation Epic Fury is substantially ahead of schedule. President Trump said that although plans were made for an approximate 4-week operation in Iran, the U.S. has the capability to go far longer than that. "Our objectives are clear. First, we're destroying Iran's missile capabilities. Second, we're annihilating their navy. Third, we're ensuring that the world's number one sponsor of terror can never obtain a nuclear weapon. And finally, we're ensuring that the Iranian regime cannot continue to arm, fund, and direct terrorist armies outside of their borders," he said. 12:05 p.m., German Chancellor Friedrich Merz said on Monday that he and French President Emmanuel Macron have established a nuclear steering group to coordinate nuclear deterrence strategy. Macron separately said that France, which, after the departure of the United Kingdom, stands as the EU's only nuclear-armed power, will increase the number of its warheads. Meanwhile, Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk said that Warsaw is in talks with France and a group of closest European allies to discuss a broader European deterrence. "We are arming up together with our friends so that our enemies will never dare to attack us," Tusk said. 11:50 a.m., the United Arab Emirates. UAE, Ministry of Defense said that its air defenses successfully intercepted today 9 ballistic missiles, 6 cruise missiles, and 148 drones on Monday. The ministry said that since the start of the conflict on Saturday, Iran has launched 174 ballistic missiles, 161 of which were destroyed, and 13 fell harmlessly into the sea. A total of 689 Iranian drones were also detected, with 645 intercepted, while 44 landed within the country's territory. Additionally, 8 cruise missiles were detected and destroyed, causing some collateral damage. The incidents resulted in 3 fatalities and 68 minor injuries, the country's MOD added. 11:40 a.m., the Israel Defense Forces said that it has struck over 70 Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon, including weapons storage facilities and missile launchers, after the Iranian-backed terror group reportedly broke the 2024 ceasefire on Sunday evening in revenge for the killing of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The targets that were attacked were intended to be used by the terror group to advance and carry out various terror plots against IDF forces and civilians of the State of Israel, the IDF said. The Hezbollah terror group chose to join the Iranian terror regime and will bear the consequences of the strike against the State of Israel. 11:25 a.m., Qatar has announced that its Emiri Air Force successfully shot down 2 Russian-made Su-24 Iranian fighter jets, as well as intercepting 7 ballistic missiles and 5 drones. The ministry affirms that the threat was addressed immediately upon detection, in accordance with the operational plan, as all missiles were shot down before reaching their targets, the defense ministry said. 11:10 a.m., addressing the House of Commons on Monday, British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer said that the United Kingdom is not joining the U.S. in Israeli strikes on Iran, despite U-turning on his decision to allow the U.S. to use U.K. military bases to attack Iran. Starmer acknowledged President Trump's earlier criticisms of the failure to do so, but said, "It is my duty to judge what is in Britain's national interests." Earlier on Monday, President Trump said that he was very disappointed with Starmer, telling the Daily Telegraph that it took far too long for Starmer to approve American strikes from British bases. 10:50 a.m., speaking to the New York Post on Monday, President Trump said that he is not ruling out the idea of sending U.S. troops on the ground in Iran, but suggested that it might not be necessary, claiming that Operation Epic Fury is way ahead of schedule in terms of the number of top Iranian officials killed. "I don't have the yips with respect to boots on the ground. Like every president says, there will be no boots on the ground. I don't say it," Trump told the paper. "I say probably don't need them, or, if they were necessary." 10:40 a.m., U.S. President Donald Trump suggested that strikes on Iran will intensify, telling CNN on Monday, "We haven't even started hitting them hard. The big wave hasn't even happened. The big one is coming soon. We're knocking the crap out of them," President Trump continued. "I think it's going very well. It's very powerful. We've got the greatest military in the world, and we're using it." Trump said that the time will come for the Iranian people to take to the streets and topple their government, but said that right now we want everyone staying inside. It's not safe out there. 10:30 a.m., speaking from Beit Shemesh at the site of an Iranian missile strike that killed 9 people, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Monday that Operation Epic Fury was launched to both remove existential threats and allow the Iranian people to effect regime change, the Times of Israel reported. "If this regime of terror obtains nuclear weapons, they will threaten all of humanity. Therefore, we went out in order to remove that danger first and foremost from ourselves. But we are acting here together with the United States, in the name of and for the sake of all humanity," Netanyahu said. 10:15 a.m., The Wall Street Journal reports that natural gas prices in Europe spiked by 50% on Monday after Qatar Energy, the world's largest liquefied natural gas, LNG, producer, said it was halting operations following alleged military strikes on its facilities. 9:55 a.m., The Pentagon has reportedly relocated military aircraft from the Rota and Moron military bases in southern Spain on Sunday, Madrid's ABC newspaper reports. The decision to relocate the logistical support aircraft was made after the socialist government of Pedro Sanchez, the only EU leader to openly condemn the US-Israeli strikes on Iran, said over the weekend that its bases could not be used to launch attacks on Iran. ABC suggested that the U.S. aircraft likely relocated to other European bases, such as Germany's Ramstein Air Base. 9:45 a.m., French President Emmanuel Macron warned on Monday that the conflict in Iran will bring its share of instability and possible conflagration to our borders, noting the ongoing risks of an Iran with nuclear and ballistic capabilities not yet destroyed. However, the French leader said per BFM TV, "All those who would have the audacity to attack France know the unbearable price they would have to pay." Macron previously announced that France would raise its military posture in the Gulf region on Sunday after French naval assets in the United Arab Emirates were struck in a drone attack, resulting in minor damage. 9:20 a.m., the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon has urged American citizens to leave the country immediately while there are commercial flights available as conflict broke out on Sunday evening after Hezbollah terrorists fired rockets into northern Israel. The U.S. Embassy further warned Americans not to travel to the country, given the ongoing strikes by Israel into Lebanon. Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Iraq has advised Americans in the country to exercise increased caution, keep a low profile, and shelter in place until further notice, warning that Iran-aligned terrorist militias continue to pose a significant threat to public safety. Reports of missiles, drones, and rockets in Iraqi airspace continue. 9:05 a.m., U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said on Monday that Operation Epic Fury in Iran is not a democracy-building exercise. "No stupid rules of engagement, no nation-building quagmire. No democracy-building exercise, no politically correct wars. We fight to win and we don't waste time or lives," he said. Secretary Hegseth added that President Trump has been very consistent. "Crazy regimes like Iran, hell-bent on prophetic Islamist delusions, cannot have nuclear weapons, it's common sense. Many have said it, but it takes guts to actually enforce it, and our president has guts." Iran's stubborn and self-evident nuclear pursuits, their targeting of global shipping lanes and their swelling arsenals of ballistic missiles and killer drones were no longer tolerable risks. Iran was building powerful missiles and drones to create a conventional shield for their nuclear ambitions, he said. "Our bases, our allies, our people all in their crosshairs. Iran had a conventional gun to our head as they tried to lie their way to a nuclear bomb. It almost worked under Obama and his terrible deal, but not under this president." Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. 8:35 a.m., in a press conference alongside Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Dan Kane said that Operation Epic Fury was the culmination of months and in some cases years of deliberate planning and refinement against this particular target set. "Across every domain, land, air, sea, cyber, the U.S. Joint Force delivered synchronized and layered effects designed to disrupt, degrade, deny, and destroy Iran's ability to conduct and sustain combat operations." 8:30 a.m., in his first press conference since the start of Operation Epic Fury in Iran, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said that the military action taken by the United States was in response to 47 years of the Islamist regime in Tehran waging a savage, one-sided war against America. "We didn't start this war, but under President Trump, we are finishing it," Secretary Hegseth said. 7:45 a.m., U.S. Central Command has announced the death of a fourth American military service member amid Operation Epic Fury in Iran. CENTCOM said that the service member was seriously wounded during Iran's initial attacks, eventually succumbed to their injuries. "Major combat operations continue and our response effort is ongoing. The identities of the fallen are being withheld until 24 hours after next of kin notification." 7:40 a.m., Jerusalem has vowed to kill Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem after the terror group apparently broke the 2024 ceasefire agreement on Sunday by firing rockets into northern Israel. Defense Minister Israel Katz said that they will send Qassem to the depths of hell alongside Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. 7:35 a.m., According to the Times of Israel, the IDF have claimed to have killed Hussein Makhald, the head of intelligence for the Iranian-backed Hezbollah terrorist group in Lebanon, during retaliatory strikes after Hezbollah fired rockets into northern Israel on Sunday in a revenge strike over the killing of Ayatollah Khamenei. Initial figures from the Lebanese health ministry said that 31 people were killed and 149 people were wounded, the Times of London reports. 7:25 a.m., U.S. President Donald Trump has said that he is very disappointed with British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer for initially refusing to allow UK military bases to be used by American forces to strike Iran, a decision which he U-turned on Sunday evening, over a day into the conflict. President Trump told London's Daily Telegraph that it took far too long for Starmer to change his mind, adding, "That's probably never happened between our countries before. It sounds like he was worried about the legality." 7:10 a.m., U.S. Central Command has confirmed the loss of three F-15E Strike Eagle fighters on Sunday evening in the skies over Kuwait. The jets were in active combat with Iranian aircraft but suffered an apparent friendly fire incident after being mistakenly shot down by Kuwaiti air defenses. CENTCOM said that all six aircrew ejected safely, have been safely recovered, and are in stable condition. 12:05 a.m., Israel Defense Force Major General Rafi Milo, the head of Northern Command, said that retaliatory strikes against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon will continue and said that their intensity will increase, the Times of Israel reported. Shortly after Hezbollah's rocket fire, in accordance with planning, we launched a first wide wave of strikes in Beirut and southern Lebanon, targeting senior operatives, headquarters, and terror infrastructure. We are also working to evacuate the population in southern Lebanon for its protection ahead of additional strikes, Milo said. 12 a.m., one of the top remaining members of the Islamist regime, Ali Larijani, the head of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, said on Monday that Tehran will not negotiate with the United States. He added, "Trump plunged the region into chaos with his delusional fantasies and now fears more American troop casualties. With his delusional actions, he turned his self-made America First slogan into Israel First and sacrificed American soldiers for Israel's power-hungry ambitions." For earlier LiveWire updates from over the weekend, please click here.